Welcome to today's episode of Gone Fishin' Nuclear Report. This podcast is your one-stop information source for news about Department of Energy's environmental management activities around the nation. DOE is now engaged in the largest environmental remediation program in history, cleaning up nuclear production sites across the U.S. that were used to support national security missions for 75 years. Some of the work on these sites dates back to the super-secret Manhattan Project, a national priority to develop the first atomic bomb that helped end World War II. Cleanup of these sites is a multi-decade effort, requiring thousands of trained professionals and highly skilled craftspeople with budgets in the billions of dollars. Each week, the Gone Fishin' Nuclear Report will bring you the latest news about developments in the DOE environmental management complex. Now, with today's report, here is our host, Michael Butler.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Gone Fishin' Nuclear Report. Today is Monday, November 15th, 2021. We have a great program for you today. First, we'll get to the latest environmental management news, and then we'll ask the question, how would you spend $600 million? We'll have an interview with a South Carolina state senator who will give his take on how $600 million in DOE plutonium settlement funds should be allocated. This is a hot topic in South Carolina right now, and you won't want to miss this candid interview and what one state senator has to say about his constituents' relationship with the Savannah River site over the years. But first, let's get the latest news from the DOE Environmental Management Program. Here's Gone Fishin' correspondent Misty Fragan.
Thanks, Mike. There were important developments in the cleanup program at Hanford over the past week. Staff at Hanford's waste treatment and immobilization plant have successfully performed a loss of off-site power commissioning test. This test is a critical step towards melter heat-up as it demonstrates the ability to activate backup power, keep critical safety systems operational, and restore off-site power to the plant. When complete, the waste treatment and immobilization plant will process and stabilize much of the 56 million gallons of radioactive and chemical waste currently stored at the Hanford site. Progress in tank-side cesium removal is also front and center at Hanford site this week. The ion exchange columns that have been used over the past several months for drills, testing, and readiness assessments are going back to the vendor, Avantech, in Richland, Washington. The columns will be filled with cesium-absorbent media, then reinstalled at the site. At that point, they will be ready to remove radioactive cesium and undissolved solids from waste in large underground tanks in preparation for vitrification, the process of immobilizing waste in glass. DOE is considering solidifying 2,000 gallons of Hanford tank waste and disposing of it as low-level radioactive waste at an off-site facility. A virtual public meeting on the plan is scheduled for Thursday, November 18th. The plan is part of DOE's Testbed Initiative. A portion of the liquid waste from tank SY-101 will be pretreated to remove most radionuclides, shipped off-site to be grouted into a solid, and then disposed of at either Energy Solutions' low-level waste facility near Clive, Utah, or Waste Control Specialist Federal Waste Facility in Andrews County, Texas. At Savannah River, EM's liquid waste contractor immobilized more decontaminated salt solution, or DSS, in the fiscal year that ended September 30th than in the previous 5 years combined. Savannah River remediation converts DSS into a grout and safely dispositions to the engineered waste form inside mega volume storage units. From October 1st, 2020 through September 30th of this year, the SRS Saltstone production facility received more than 3.1 million gallons of DSS, more than the previous 5 years of operation combined, which yielded a total of 2.8 million gallons. The Saltstone facility mixed the record amount of DSS with cement, dry slag, and fly ash to produce just over 5 million gallons of grout for disposal, more than any year in the site's history. The previous 5 years resulted in the creation of slightly less than 4.9 million gallons. We all know that small business remains the backbone of the American economy, and nowhere is that more true than in DOE's environmental cleanup program. Six small businesses were recognized for their exceptional support of UCOR and its mission to support the Department of Energy's cleanup of the Oak Ridge Reservation. UCOR recognized the 2021 awardees at a hybrid ceremony, both in person and streamed online, held November 4th. Four of the six awardees are located in Oak Ridge, where UCOR is based. Congratulations to Slate Safety, which was named UCOR's Small Business of the Year. Others recognized were Ars Alut Remediation, Container Technologies Industries, Turnkey Technical Services, Premier Contracting and Technical Services, and Government and Commercial Services. Since 2011, EUCOR has subcontracted $1.4 billion in work to small business. Contractors across the DOE complex have shown a similar commitment to utilizing small businesses, greatly expanding cleanup capabilities while supporting local job creation. And congratulations to EUCOR for surpassing 5 million safe hours without a lost day away accident. Finally, in people news, we have liftoff. We're all proud of our kids, but Scott Sachs, president of Central Plateau Cleanup Company in Hanford, just can't stop smiling this week. His daughter, astronaut Kayla Barron, blasted off from the Kennedy Space Center Wednesday night en route to the International Space Station for a 6-month stay. Kayla is a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Navy and was selected for the astronaut program in 2017. Thanks, Kayla, for inspiring a generation of scientists and explorers with your out-of-this-world achievements. Mike?
Thanks, Misty. There's more news on the DOE contract front this week. The agency has indefinitely delayed its final request for proposals for the management and operations contract for the Savannah River site. DOE issued a draft RFP in April. The department said it was delaying the final RFP to ensure it provides the best possible mission execution and value for the taxpayer. The proposed 10-year contract is valued at $21.5 billion. The current M&O contractor is Savannah River Nuclear Solutions, a partnership of Fluor, Newport News Nuclear, and Honeywell. The incumbent is expected to remain in place under a 12-month extension through September 30th, 2022. Now for today's big story. One of the biggest issues percolating in the DOE complex these days is the burning question of what to do with hundreds of millions of dollars related to plutonium storage at the Savannah River site. Following a lengthy legal battle, DOE and the state of South Carolina reached a settlement in August 2020, wherein the federal agency would pay $600 million to the state, acknowledging its failure to remove more than 9 metric tons of plutonium now stored at SRS. In return, DOE was given more time, until 2037, to get the plutonium out of South Carolina without the threat of additional legal action. The settlement stems from DOE's termination of the Mixed Oxide Fuel, or MOX, facility in 2018. Intended to meet a non-proliferation agreement between the United States and Russia, the plant was over two-thirds finished when construction was halted. At the time, DOE said it was also 32 years behind schedule and over $13 billion over budget. Under a previous 2002 agreement, DOE was liable for millions of dollars in fines, which would accrue daily if MOX fuel production goals were not met and the plutonium was not removed from the state by a date certain. Under the law, DOE would reimburse the state in the amount of $1 million per day that the milestones were unmet, up to a maximum of $100 million per year. With the settlement, the fines will not be paid. Now the burning question is, how will the $600 million in settlement funds be allocated? The actual amount available for distribution is $525 million, since $75 million has already been paid to two law firms who helped negotiate the settlement. A nice payday indeed. As an aside, the lawyers in this case were not associated with infamous Hampton, South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch, who is now a headliner on Dateline, 48 Hours, and the national news following the tragic June murder of his wife and son and a faked attempt on his own life by a presumed hitman in September. But back to our story. The three counties where the Savannah River site is located are making a strong case that the bulk of the funds should go to them. Those are Aiken, Allendale, and Barnwell counties. They say they will use the money for transformational projects like education, transportation, and other infrastructure that will make a long-term positive difference to their region. State Senator Brad Hutto represents South Carolina's District 40, which includes two of the three counties, Allendale and Barnwell. Hutto is the Senate Minority Leader and a trial lawyer and is a native of the region. Kay Maxwell of the Southern Carolina Alliance, a regional economic development group, recently sat down with Senator Hutto to discuss how the plutonium fund should be distributed. Here is her interview.
Senator Hutto, can you explain the process that's being used to decide who gets these funds?
Well, the General Assembly ultimately will make that decision going through a normal budgetary process. Both House and Senate have subcommittees right now that are looking at the money and proposals for the use of the money. Those subcommittees will report to full committees of Ways and Means in the House, Senate Finance, and the Senate. Those Senate committees that deal with budgetary matters will then report a bill out to their respective bodies, and it will come to a majority vote of the senators in the Senate, the House members in the House. If we are together, the two bodies are together on what the money should be spent for, then the bill will go on to the governor. If the House has one opinion, the Senate has a difference, it'll go to a conference committee who will work out the differences, and then that'll go to the governor for a signature. The governor has expressed on several occasions publicly that he does support Aiken, Barnwell, and Allendale receiving the bulk of the money. He seems to understand what the purpose of the settlement funds are for. I think most legislators do. I mean, reluctantly, some of them do, because anytime money's coming into South Carolina, it is the job of all members to try and represent their areas. But this money's special. It's not money that's coming in from a general tax revenue source. It's not money that's coming in from the federal government to South Carolina, sort of in an unrestricted manner. It's coming in basically as a result of a settlement of a lawsuit. And that lawsuit originates from the fact that we are, as you said earlier, the impacted area. It's these three counties who've sacrificed over decades. I'll always say proudly that we're the area that won the Cold War. I mean, when they looked for an area where they had to come in and seize people's property, remove towns, remove people off their farms, and build a plant to make bombs, we were the three counties that sacrificed, and proudly so. And the people here, I think over the years, held their heads high as they learned how to work with hazardous and radioactive materials. And they did so because they knew they were doing it for their country. Now, as you say, that this money might have the ability to affect us over decades, so might that plutonium have the ability to affect us over centuries if it stays here. And so, you know, we do deserve to be recognized for the fact that we're the ones that Barnwell in particular, where the plutonium is located. Our area has had no problems with dealing with radioactive material over the years. We think we do it safely. We think that the citizens of this area have been educated on that and how to work with those materials. But no matter how safe you try to be, there's always the risk that there could be a problem when you have something of that magnitude of danger. So I had several of my colleagues who said, well, you know, we should get some of that money too. And I suggested, I said, well, I'll tell you what, y'all bring two trucks over. I'm going to give you some plutonium. I'm going to send it back with you, and then you can put your name in the hat. I said, but until you're willing to take some of the plutonium, we're the ones who are accepting the risk. Although we've known that, we knew that when it came here, but we did it with the expectation that the federal government was going to remove it in a timely fashion. That's what was supposed to happen. When they failed to do so, there was a penalty built into the legislation, and that penalty actually was a much steeper penalty than what the settlement proceeds are. And that penalty clearly says it was to mitigate or offset the impacted area. And I don't know of a single business that's failed to come to South Carolina at Myrtle Beach or Rock Hill or Greenville because we have plutonium in Barnwell. But we do have challenges sometimes when we go to recruit businesses and they find out that we are near the Savannah River site. And while we've done an excellent job of recruiting many businesses, we've missed out on some opportunities because that plutonium is here. I don't know a single family who decided last year not to go to Myrtle Beach because we have plutonium in Barnwell. But there are jobs that we didn't get in Barnwell because we have plutonium in Barnwell. And so that's the case that we will make and are making today of why this area needs to get the vast majority of that money.
What is your view of how these funds should be allocated among the counties?
Well, I do have a sort of a three-pronged approach. I think Allendale, Barnwell, and Aiken should receive the vast share of the money because we are the directly affected counties. However, I acknowledge there's a ring of counties that surrounds our area, which brings in employment to Savannah River site and historically would have been part of the workforce that would have been employed had Mox come forward. And so I don't know that I can name them all, but basically Edgefield, Lexington, Orangeburg, Bamberg, Colleton, Hampton, maybe a few more that would be in the ring of counties that surround the three counties. And I do think that they need to be considered for some money. And then I believe the state does deserve some of the money. I'm not going into this with the notion that all of the money is going to come to these three counties. I just don't think that's realistic. While I'd like to advocate for that, and I really believe that maybe they should, I'm also, I've been around for over a quarter of a century in the legislature, and I know how compromise goes. And we're going to get our share, but we can't go in and ask for all of it. There are some statewide projects that do make sense for this money. So whether it's broadband or I've heard mentioned some money for the port, there's some projects that have statewide impact that would also impact our area where some of the money should go. But I think the vast majority should go to the three counties, then the ring county. I call them the ring counties, the counties that surround our three counties, and then to the state as a whole.
Some are advocating that some of the money go to non-SRS related projects like the Charleston Port. What do you think of that?
I think that some of the money will go to the state. And if the state chooses for the state portion, I've heard broadband, I've heard the port. I'm not opposed to either one of those in concept. However, I mean, last year we debated a port bond bill, in essence, because we can borrow the money that we need for the port very economically and probably wisely. There are other ways to fund the port other than this money. But if the wisdom of a state is to use the state share of this money for the port, I don't have a problem with that.
What kind of projects do you think the money should be used for?
Now, that's an important facet of what I believe the settlement was intended to do. It's intended to offset the fact that we're not getting the jobs from Mox. So I think it's got to go to education and workforce development, infrastructure that'll bring in jobs. I think this money is intended to help create jobs. And so I would say education, workforce development, economic development, infrastructure, and to some degree, as people look here for jobs, we've got to have the ability to have a good healthcare system. So some of it could go to healthcare, but I don't think it's intended to build a new park. And I'm all for parks, okay? But this is intended for job creation and education. It's intended to make sure that the jobs we didn't get because of Mox not being here, that we'll be able to educate the future workers of Barnwell, Aiken, and Allendale to get jobs in our area, number one, and then to bring jobs to our area for those people.
Senator Hutto, what is the governor's view on the use of the settlement funds?
There's so many ways that people approach this, and I wasn't sure in the beginning what some of my colleagues' views on this were, but I think we're fortunate that the governor has been very supportive. We're fortunate that the attorney general, who was basically the person who helped negotiate the settlement, he has said publicly that he believes a vast majority of the money, a substantial part of the money. People use different terms, significant amount, vast majority, substantial amount. We don't know exactly what that means in terms of dollars, but most of the leaders who've had any role in bringing the money as a result of the settlement have acknowledged that it was intended to replace the fact that we're not getting the MOX facility and to pay us for the fact that we're storing the plutonium.
How do you assess the safety of the plutonium storage and the relative risk it poses?
This plutonium had to be stored anywhere else. You'd have to pay rent for it. I mean, you'd have to, whoever was storing it was going to have to pay for it to be stored somewhere. And in fact, we should be getting a lot more if you looked at the terms of the legislation. But I realize that Congress never appropriated that. My Congress writes a lot of laws that look good until they have to put the money up for it. But, you know, I think that I think the settlement's fair. And I think the settlement was intended for what we know to affect our counties the most. And I'm looking forward to meeting with my colleagues in person, which we hadn't been able to do a lot lately. But I'll tell you this, as I've talked to them, particularly as I've talked to members of the subcommittee, members of the leadership in both bodies, I've had very little pushback on the notion that our three counties are, I don't want to necessarily use the word entitled, but we deserve the money because that's what it was intended for.
And thank you, Brad. Is there anything else you want to cover today?
I think we've made a good job of publicizing the fact that the money is there. We've given people an opportunity to speak up as to what they see or important ways that the monies might be spent. I think we need to have transparency, accountability, and so part of that is public input. So I know that as part of just my own internal process of trying to determine where I think the monies ought to go, and is to gauge what the public thinks. And I've had discussions with mayors, county council members, town council members, just the public in general, and talked about it. I get very little pushback from the notion that it ought to go to education, workforce development, and infrastructure. A lot of times you run into somebody who's got a pet project and they'd like to have their monies funded too. But I think you might have said this earlier. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We cannot squander this money. There's a lot of very laudable projects that are out there. But what we're looking for are impactful projects, projects that will make a difference not just this year, but projects that will make a difference over a lifetime, projects that will transform families, that will give people jobs, that will make sure that the quality of education we need for our workforce is there. Those are the type of projects that this money has to be used for, or either we will have blown the opportunity to transform this area with the money.
Thank you for joining us for today's Gone Fishin' Nuclear Report. Join us next time for more environmental management news from Department of Energy sites around the country.